You know, I have a longtime friend, actually our family does, who's been dealing with cancer over the past few years. Matter of fact, she was a part of our youth group when we first came to Bethany Church and has been a close family friend for years and now has a family of her own with young children. And it's been a tough journey ever since that. And, you know, the prognosis has never really looked good, still doesn't, but God has been sustaining her for a number of years. But, you know, one of the amazing things as I look at their family and look at her life is to see the love of Jesus that has been shown through so many people, through the church, through people at her church, through other people like us who don't go to her church, through friends literally around the world. It's just kind of fun seeing things on Facebook sometimes or when we're with them hearing stories of how God's people have come together to show their love for her and her family. And, you know, it's been showed in a lot of different ways. You know, I've heard of many who have carried burdens, carrying some of the burdens that they carry. Those who have brought comfort through cards, through prayers, through coming in and visit. I've seen others and heard about others who have brought great encouragement, who have come and served by coming and just showing up and cleaning up her house. Coming and saying, hey, can I take care of the kids while you guys get away for a weekend? And of course, each one being devoted to each other, devoted to showing love to a friend, to a part of the family of God, whatever may come. You know, and she, by her own admission, would say she has been a recipient over and over and over again of what it means to love one another. She's experienced this love through the one another's that we're looking at this summer in the Bible. She has seen that comfort one another. Encourage one another. Carry the burdens of one another. Serve one another. All of those love come down to love one another, doesn't it? You know, it's not just when somebody's hurting or in a crisis. I mean, that's certainly a time when we should be doing that. But you know what? It should be every day of every week that we are looking for ways to love one another. To be, as we talked about last week, the body of Christ. For those who were here last week, we talked about what it means to be the body of Christ, the church. And last week we began this new sermon series on living for one another. And I said to you that, you know what, as much as we may talk about these things, these one another's, and today as we look at loving one another, you're not going to really do those things unless you really believe something else. I won't put you to the test, but hopefully I'll have you think about it. What did we talk about last week, remember? That we belong to one another. If you don't truly believe that we belong to one another, you're not going to do those one another's. Unless you truly believe that we are connected, right? That every single one of us is important, as we talked about last week. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go to the website and listen to the message. I think it'll be up here this week. It's really the foundation for this whole series. If you don't really understand that we are the body of Christ, that we are together, that we are the family of God, then those things will be nice platitudes of, oh, I should do that, but that's probably as far as it'll go. You know, for us to have any real true discussion on the one another passages, though, we have to start at the most important one. The most important one. Why is it most important? Well, it's because Jesus gave us this command. Matter of fact, it is the most frequently used one another. And that is the common one that we know. We all know it. To love one another, right? And yet, this was not just a suggestion, but a command that Jesus gave to us. And the reason that it's mentioned so many other times by the other disciples and by the writings in the Bible is because Jesus gave us this command. And he put special emphasis on it. So if you haven't already, turn to John chapter 13. We're going to look at 34 and 35. You know, as we look at this passage, it's probably not going to be new to you. But I want you to come to it, I hope this morning, with maybe new eyes, with a new heart, with a fresh perspective as you listen to what Jesus really means when he says this. So let's look at this passage. Verse 34. Jesus says, "A new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Think he's talking about something? Jesus says here he's giving them a new command. It's interesting, this word new actually means fresh or not outworn. I'm giving you this fresh command, he says. Because the reality is this wasn't a new command. Do you know this command is in the Old Testament as well? So it wasn't brand new to them. It wasn't a new idea, a new phrase. We're supposed to love one another. No. But he said, this is new. Why? He says, because I'm going to show you what love looks like. We need to see it from Jesus' perspective and example. And we need to follow that example. It's interesting. Jesus says earlier, as I have loved you, you must love one another. So what kind of love? What kind of love did he show? What does it look like? Well, as you're going to see this morning, it is two things especially, sacrificial and serving. Loving one another is the great New Testament command on which hangs all the other one another's, okay? We're going to look at a bunch this summer. I've already mentioned a bunch. But all these other one another commands hang from, must come from, must be led by this one great command to love one another. See, all the one another's describe an expression of love. Ultimately, all these other things we're going to talk about are expressions of love for one another. They are ultimately a description of sacrifice and service. If you think about all the one another's, there is some kind of sacrifice or service that you must do in order to accomplish those one another's, right? Think about it. To serve one another, to carry one another's burdens, even to comfort one another, to encourage one another. There's an aspect of service, of sacrifice in each one of those. And so we see from Jesus' own words that we need to look to him for our example. We need to follow Jesus' example. There was a newness in what Jesus taught and how he lived. People were stunned. You see throughout the New Testament, it says when he taught as no one else did, with authority and with love. And so we see here that Jesus taught, more importantly, he modeled what it means, how he wants us to love one another. Earlier in John 13, we see here we're at the end of John 13, right? Earlier in John 13, we see what Jesus modeled. He modeled service by washing his disciples' feet. We had a message on this. I'm not going to re-preach that message. We had a message on John 13 in our Grace series. If you were here, you remember it, how Jesus sacrificially went and washed his disciples' feet. He humbled himself. He became a servant. He set a pattern of what it means to love one another. It's right after that. That's where this passage comes from, after he had done all this. And he says, here's a new command. Here's a fresh way of looking at it. You see what I just did for you? That's love. That's one aspect of serving is love. To love one another means we are to serve one another. It's the Jesus way. We can say, I love you to lots of people. But as we'll see in a few moments, love is more than just words, right? Love is action. You know, that's why there are so many hospitals, orphanages, schools, relief agencies around the world that have been started. You know why? Because it's been started by Christians. If you look around the world, especially in the United States and around the world, we see all these things, all these hospitals, schools, relief agencies, and so on, that were started and continue through Christian men and women. Stop and look at all the hospitals that are named around our area. I mean, Providence. We've talked about the providence of God, right? That's a biblical word. It's a Christian word. Good Samaritan. Where'd that come from? And many others. St. Vincent's, you know, named after a saint, named after a man of God who started. And you look at a lot of schools. Do you know that Harvard and Princeton were started from Christian men? Now, you go there now, you're not going to hear a lot about Jesus, but when it started, and so many other things, Compassion International, Red Cross, all those things started by people who followed Jesus and who wanted to love one another. We are to be Christ's dynamic church, his dynamic people, his dynamic presence to this world. As we saw last week, we are to be his body, his hands and his feet, right? And this should be our attitude. This should be your attitude. This should be mine as we learn and as we think about how to love one another. And the first thing we see that we need to follow Jesus' example to be servants, right? To have a servant heart is the first part of loving others. Bruce Thielman, he's a pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh. He shared about a conversation that he had with a member of the church. It was after a message, and this man came up to him and talked to him. He said, Pastor, he said, you know, you preachers talk a lot about do unto others, but when you get right down to it, it comes down to basin theology. Pastor kind of looked at basin theology. I never heard of that. What is that? The man said, well, remember what Pilate did when he had the chance to acquit Jesus? He called for a basin, and he washed his hands of the whole situation. But then you remember Jesus. On the night before he went to the cross, he also went to a basin. But he took the basin with full of water and he washed his disciples' feet. It all comes down to basin theology, this man said. Which basin are you living out of? Which basin are you and I living out of? One where we wash our hands of things, you know, that's somebody else's issue, or I don't want to deal with that. Or one where we get down on our knees and we have the basin of water where we serve other people, where we love others. You know, to love one another is to have a servant's heart, to have a servant's basin, and to follow Jesus' example. But Jesus gave another example, the ultimate example, a sacrificial example of going to the cross. When Jesus says, as I have loved you, he was talking about when he was going to the cross. As I have loved you, yes, as I just washed your feet, okay? But also, as I have loved you, he's even looking to the future here in the next day. And for us now, we look back on what he did for us on the cross. He sacrificially loved us by going to the cross. That's why he later said, just a couple chapters later, in John chapter 15, 12 and 13, listen to what he says. Same stuff, but a little bit different. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Okay, that, he said that earlier, yeah. But then he says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. See, if we truly love one another, it's going to cost us something. Love costs sacrifice at different times, doesn't it? True love, deep love, brings sacrifice. You see, it's a church's responsibility, I believe, to carry on where Jesus left off. Jesus showed us what it meant to love other people, to love one another, and we're to carry that on. The Apostle John, I think, understood this. If you look at his writings, obviously we have the Gospel of John, but then he wrote a number of letters to the churches. And in 1 John, he mentions one another like 13 times in this short little letter. Matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 3 and 4, he mentions it 5 times just in that chapter. So if you have your Bible, turn, scroll over to 1 John chapter 3. It's at the very end of the Bible, right next to Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. And by the way, if you want to kind of be challenged on what it means to love one another, then this week, read 1 John chapter 3 and 4. But look at verse 11. We're going to look at verse 11, and then we're going to skip over to look at verse 16 to 18. Verse 11 says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and see his brothers in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. With actions and in truth. I think we see here John understands sacrificial love, and he wants the church, he wants you and I to understand that, you know what, love is not just words, but it must be in action, and it must be sacrificial. Augustine, maybe you've heard of Saint Augustine, great man of God, had many writings. When he was talking about love, he wrote this, what does it look like? He says it has hands to help people, feet to hasten to the poor and needy, eyes to see misery and want, ears to hear the sighs and the sorrows of men. This is what love looks like. You must have been reading 1 John 3 and 4. You want to know how to love one another? called sacrifice. It involves, think about what love involves. Love involves patience, kindness to those who offend you, right, who annoy you, forgiveness to those who sin against you. Love is an action. Maybe it's buying or bringing a meal for someone. Maybe it's helping pay rent for somebody who can't afford it or a bill that they can't quite meet. Maybe it's letting somebody borrow your tools or your vehicle or inviting others into your home, even though you know it's probably going to get dirty. Something might even get broken or taken by a child. Above all, here's the sacrifice. It involves time, right? We all know how important our time is, right? We only have so much time. Time to serve and to love sacrificially. See, we're called to be inspired by Jesus, to be inspired. I hope this morning you're inspired by Jesus to sacrificially love, to give of ourselves as he called his disciples to do, as he calls us to do. We are called to be living this whole thing, living for one another. See, it's not about me, it's about we. Okay, you're going to be hearing that a lot probably during this series. It's not about me, it's about us. We're the family of God. We're called to live for one another. The one another commands translate love into action. Let me say that again. The one another's translate love into action. So throughout this series, when you hear those different things, it must come from a heart, first of all, that knowing that you belong to one another, and a heart that you love one another. Think about it. The one another's mitigate tensions among each other, doesn't it? Because the truth is, we're going to annoy one another. We're going to get on each other's nerves. We're going to offend each other once in a while. Most of the times, maybe unintentionally. Sometimes, maybe even intentionally. Just like in real families. And the one another's enable the church to become a community of love. Not a perfect community. Not one where everybody's perfect and no, everybody's getting along at all the time. No. But a community that's learning to truly love one another. And that's why the greatest of the one another's is to love one another. You know, God's given us a number of other passages that talk about loving one another. And they seem to all have a theme. Let me share just a few of them with you. And I bring out a description. See if you can, they're not on the screen, so you got to listen. I'm just going to read them for you. Description of what it means to love one another. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Hebrews 13:1, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. 1 Thessalonians 4:9-10, now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to love one another more and more. I love that. More and more. We see here a same theme throughout. What kind of love are they called to love with one another? A brotherly or a family love. This word, the same word is used throughout these passages. It's the word Philadelphia. You ever heard that word before? Maybe you've been to the city, right? It's called the city of? Oh yeah, you guys know that. You know Greek now. You know another Greek word. God's word calls us as his church to have a family kind of love. When we say a brotherly love, that's kind of enough. It's a love that has a commitment, right? It's a deep friendship kind of love. It's a commitment that we have that family should. Now, not all families, you know, there are dysfunctional families, but what he's talking about is a healthy family here where you have love just like you do in your family. Think about your love for your kids, right? No matter how bad they are, you still love them. Or hopefully your parents as well. Your brothers and sisters. Booker T. Washington, maybe you've heard that name. He was born a slave, but he was freed later on, and he actually became a leader in education, wrote a number of books. In one of his books, he shared about the love of his brother. He says this, "The most trying ordeal that I was forced to endure as a slave was wearing of a flax shirt. In that portion of Virginia where I lived, it was common to use flax as part of the clothing for slaves. The part of flax from which the clothing was made was largely the refuse. It was the cheapest and roughest part." He says, "I can scarcely imagine any torture, except perhaps pulling of a tooth, that is equal to that of putting on a new flax shirt for the first time. It was like having chestnut burrs or 100 small pinpoints in contact with your skin. You ever seen those chestnut burrs? You certainly know pins. He says, that's what it's like to have it on the flesh. But I had no choice. I had to wear that or nothing. My brother John, however, who was several years older than I am, performed one of the most generous and loving acts that I've ever imagined or ever heard of one slave relative doing for another. On several occasions when I was being forced to wear a brand new flax shirt, he generously agreed to put it on in my stead and to wear it the first several days until it was broken in. That is brotherly love. He cared about his brother. He wanted to help him in any way he could. He decided to take that burden, that pain from his brother and carried it himself. They were blood brothers, weren't they? They were related. They loved one another. But you know what? Do you know that we're blood brothers and sisters too? You're like, what? No, I'm not related to you, Pastor Jim. We don't have the same parents, family. No, we're related by blood. You know, the blood of Jesus, right? The shed blood of Jesus on the cross that brought us together, that brings us into the family of God. We are blood brothers and sisters. One author has said this about the church. He said, the church's success depends on one thing. Not great preaching, not great worship, not creative programs for kids, not a lot of money, not great buildings, but on one thing, he said, mutual love shared within a community of faith. That's what makes the difference. That's what ultimately will bring a church together and be a healthy church. As we read earlier from Paul, he said, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. We're family. As I said last week, you know, families sometimes don't always get along. We, you know, have the cousin over here that we kind of wish we didn't really have to hang out with, or, you know, a brother or sister who annoys us all the time, or parents who keep telling us what to do, or whatever it is, right? But you're still family. One person said this, you know, family teaches you loyalty, patience, understanding, and perseverance, and a lot of the other things you wouldn't need if you had stayed single or were alone. It would be kind of boring, though, wouldn't it? Pretty lonely, too. Loving others means not bolting from someone who fails you or others. You see, true Philadelphia, true brotherly love is this. It means being a consistent, stable, and devoted presence in another's life. Let me repeat it since it's not on the screen so you get it. It means being a consistent, stable, and loyal or devoted presence in another's life or lives. That's what Jesus desires the church to be. He calls the church to be a community of mutual love. Now again, we're not all going to know each other really well. We're not going to be best friends with every person here. But we do need to have friendships with one another. Each one of you hopefully can build those friendships, and you have people that can count on you. And when those needs come about, a bigger need like we had in our church family this week, many of you stepped up. And say, you know, I'll give a meal. I can make a meal. I can bring a meal. Others of you, others, people who aren't even here, have gone and visited and will visit and so on. He calls the church to be a community of mutual love. Why? Well, so that people will see Jesus through us. That's one of the reasons. First of all, that we would love one another because that's what he wants to do, but also that they would see the love of God through us. That they'll be able to see God's love. They'll see the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit because of the way that we love one another, right? They will know you are my disciples if you what? It's a pretty easy one. This was you passed this one. Come on now. They'll know you are my people, my disciples, if you love one another. Yeah. And as God's people, we have the opportunity to show that love, God's love, to the world around us. You know, you've all heard the phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? It's certainly true in the church, if anywhere. When there are situations in which people of the church really care for and love one another, you know what? I believe that's when they're actually most interested in listening to a sermon or considering to come to a church. You know, I can prepare messages with all my heart, try to do my very best and do all that. But you know what? People aren't going to really hear the message. They're not going to care about that message if they don't see a people who are loving one another. And they say, those are just words. Anybody can get up there and say words. A church can have a banner on their church that says, loving people. It can be just words. God says he wants it to be action. John, what we read, says it needs to be action and truth. Paul knew this was important, that we love one another. And he was so encouraged by the church in Thessalonica that he wrote this. We read it earlier. Listen again to 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. And he says, now about brotherly love, I don't even need to write to you about this, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And in fact, you do love the brothers throughout Macedonia. See, that church there in Thessalonica had been meeting the needs, specifically the financial needs of other churches and other people who were not doing as well off as they were. And so they shared, and they helped spread the gospel through that. But he says this, yet we urge you, brothers, to love more and more. You're doing a great job, but you know what? Don't stop. It's not enough. More and more. The truth is, we can always learn to love one another more and more, right? We can still learn how to do the one another's better, right? We can learn by the example of Jesus, the goal to strive, to serve, and to sacrifice for others. Even though we know we're never going to match up to, obviously, Jesus' example, are we? You know? Think, well, be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? And those are great things to focus on, but we all know, I can't be like Jesus. I mean, he's the Son of God. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to seek and strive to obey his command, right? To love one another. And so I challenge, here's a challenge. Listen to this with your heart, I hope. I challenge myself. I challenge each one of us starting this summer. Let's just this kind of rededicate ourselves this summer for ways that you can love one another. Look around. When you come to church, when you are with people in the community, start with our church here, but not just here, other people. Look around. Listen with your ears. Be sensitive to how you can serve others with the same attitude that Jesus did when he washed their feet. What needs will you hear? Will you just hear of a need and go, oh, that's too bad? Or will you have the ability to look for ways to love sacrificially, not just to serve, but then are there ways that God may call us to love sacrificially with our time, maybe with our possessions? I mean, some of you are going to sacrifice some time by driving kids up to camp and back. You could be doing funner things, maybe, you know, stuff for yourself. Some of us will sacrifice possessions. Maybe somebody needs to have a vehicle that needs to go up there, and you can't drive, but you can allow somebody to use your vehicle. Or maybe it's, you know, you can open up your house to one of those summer nights. Or those are just easy things. You know, whatever. God may open your eyes to see. Maybe he calls you to give of some of your money. Or maybe he calls you to humble yourself in order to serve someone in a way that's kind of hard. That's brotherly love. That's God's love. To know that brotherly love isn't just words, okay, but it's actions. And we're going to be looking at those actions this summer as we look at the one another's. Maybe you want to start on that. Maybe you want to start, go do a Bible study this week. And each day you want to look at a different one another. Look in the back of your Bible, look for one another's, and you can see some of the different ones that we're going to talk about in the weeks to come. Just to kind of prepare your hearts and, oh yeah. Because the one another commands tell us how to put love into action. See, if we truly love one another, we'll become what Jesus designed his church, his body, to be. We are his body, right? A witness to one another and a witness ultimately to our community and even to other parts of the world of how good and loving our Father is, how awesome and loving Jesus is, how amazing the Holy Spirit has been in our lives. So let us follow Jesus' example. Not just example, but his command. It is a command. It's not a suggestion. His command to love one another. And let us take Paul's encouragement, as he said to the Thessalonians. You know what you're doing? And I would say this about our church. I think we're doing pretty good. As I hear things going on, we're doing pretty good on loving one another. You know what? Let's do so more and more. And more and more. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, this was this is one of those kind of easy messages to preach. And it's really probably an easy message to hear as well, because we've heard it before and we know it. You know, we know we're supposed to love one another, but Lord, may it go beyond words. May it impact us to have a heart of sacrifice and service, even as you did, Jesus, and showed your love in so many ways. So Lord, help us to be a people of action. Help us to love one another here in the church, but also one another outside the church more and more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.